The anointed preaching of the Word of God is like infusing strong medicine into a sick body. The modern day church is sick, and what it really needs is an infusion of the truth.
You're listening to Truth Infusion. And now for your host, David Markham.
All right, thank you very much, Matt, and welcome aboard, Truth Seekers. Glad to be coming to you from the Truth Infusion broadcast studios and the opportunity to come into your home or your car via the radio or internet to minister to you is definitely just a blessing for me. I want to do something different today, something that we haven't done so far since we've been doing Truth Infusion. I've got a guest in the studio. One thing that's very important to me as a father, and especially the father of a teen, is to have youth pastor in their life that can reach them at a point that perhaps as a parent I have difficulty getting to. It's exciting to know a youth pastor that is called by God and that is gifted and has a heart for the youth of today and the youth that God is entrusting into their ministry. So I want to introduce Tim Lewis to you. But first, I'd like to go to the Lord in prayer, and then I want you to meet this man of God that I'm excited to have with me today. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity. I pray for all of those that are listening right now. I don't know where they are, what they're going through, but God, I pray that some way, somehow, in some supernatural manner that you would reach out to them through what is said or done in the next 30 minutes. God, that we would say something that would benefit them at the place of crisis that they may be in, or just a place of questions that they need answers to. And God, if you would just use us, anoint us to speak this word, anoint them to hear it, not as from a man, but as from you, Lord, and apply it to their lives in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, this guy that I'm talking about, he is the youth pastor for Break Free Youth Ministries at Partnership Church of Texarkana. Known him for many years. We've ministered together for many years, and I'm glad to be able to introduce you a good friend of mine, Tim Lewis. Tim, I'm glad you're with us today.
Yeah, I'm excited to be here.
Well, let's just start with the obvious. Let's get you introduced to those that are listening. So you're a youth pastor at Partnership Church, Break Free Youth Ministries. How did you get to this place, this ministry? How did you get into the youth business?
Well, you know, I remember being 14 years old, and we went to a youth conference, and it was something just broke in my spirit, and I remember the Lord just speaking to me and saying, you know, hey, I want you to do something above what you can imagine. And, you know, at the time, I was like, okay, God, you know, I'm not sure what it is. And as my life progressed, I found myself more into like a pastoral role and started falling into just this heart for just the younger generation. And with that, you know, I really felt like I was stepping into the calling of a pastor, but more specifically in, you know, youth pastor spot.
Well, if you were like me in the different areas of ministry that I've found myself in, there's the old saying that says that God does not call the equipped, but he equips the called.
Right.
So along the ways, you've had this calling from the beginning, but has God grown and changed you through these last 3 years to be a more effective youth minister?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, when I first started, you know, I kind of had the mindset of thinking that, you know, I'd take these youth in or these students, and I would talk to them. You know, I'd try to be their friends, and I would try to you know, encourage them, but, you know, just have fun. And you know, I think as a young youth pastor, that's kind of your mentality. But as I progressed with my relationship with Christ, and as well with the group, I found out that the kids actually need a lot more than just a babysitter. They need so yes. much more than just pizza parties and fun times. They need the truth just broken Amen. To their spirits.
I remember, I don't know if you remember this, but Tim and I, we were in church and ministered together at Partnership Church for over a decade. Wow. And I remember when he stepped into the youth role and he was kind of filling things out for the Lord. I remember you and I had a conversation. We've had many over the years, but this one I recall specifically. And I encouraged you. I said, Tim, give them the word.
Right.
Give them the word. Now, there's all the other things that the youth expect, which, you know, you need the fellowship atmosphere where they can
Right.
come and relax and feel like they're accepted. And maybe we'll get into some of that here in a little bit. But I reflected back to my time in youth group, you know, 7th, 8th, 9th grade. And I remember that me personally, I never really enjoyed the youth thing that much. And yeah. Here was why. Maybe I was the oddball, but here was why. I felt like the information that came across from the youth pastors was weak. It was surface. Yeah. It was superficial. And I didn't feel like as a Christian, not that I was just wholeheartedly after the Lord, but I never really felt like I learned much of anything. And so what I encouraged you with was, Tim, give them the word. Because I think we get to this place where we feel like they're young, they're teens, they can't handle the meat of the word. And I don't think that's the truth as I've grown in the Lord. And so I gave that to you. I don't know if it meant anything to you, but I've seen my son underneath your ministry, and I feel like that's become an important aspect to what you guys are doing. Are you feeling like that's really what you're called to do, is just to give them the truth of the word?
Oh, absolutely. You know, on Wednesday nights, that's our main night. That you know, I'll bring a word that I feel the Lord has placed on my heart. You know, I'll prepare it. It's just basically like a church service for teenagers. You know, it's not just coming to the Wednesday night and, you know, have fun. We do. I mean, don't get me wrong. You know, we kick back sometimes, but what's in my heart and what my desire is to equip this generation.
Yes.
Because I believe that this is a generation that, you know, the enemy has strongholds on. And I think we're going to talk a little more about that here in a little bit. But, you know, the enemy, the biggest tactic right now is to try to mm-hmm. basically destroy this generation. And we really don't have time to waste time trying to become friends.
Amen.
And trying to say the right things and do the things. Just spirit-led atmospheres is really the only thing that's going to break down the walls that the enemy is trying to build.
Yeah. Okay, well, so here's an obvious question. Break Free Youth Ministry. So I want to know, where does the Break Free come from? Where did you get that? And I know that's got to be more than just some catchy phrase.
Right.
It's got to be some ministry behind the title. So share with us where that came from. What is that about?
Okay, great. Basically, where it came from is that, you know, when I first started taking on the youth ministry, which was, like you said, about 3 years ago, you know, I stepped into it. I really didn't fully understand what God had laid out for it. So for about 2 years, I was just kind of leaning on everything that God was telling me during those specific times. And like I said, I knew where I was supposed to be. I knew I was doing what God was wanting me to do, but I just didn't know if God was ever going to actually, you know, give me an assignment. And I remember praying about it, and you know, it was a couple weeks had gone by, but I remember laying down one night, going to sleep, and just this vision popped in my mind of basically these teenagers just being held down, just being basically just robbed of everything that they could be enjoying. I mean, everything that you can imagine of being in prison is what these kids were. And you know, in my mind, I was thinking of just these chains falling off of these kids. And with that, I feel like I had received the vision that God was giving me for an assignment to go out and proclaim the gospel in a way that will set the captives free. And actually, you know, one of the verses that came to mind quickly after this was in Luke 4:18.
Okay.
And it's basically quoting scripture. But it's the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to proclaim the good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovering of the sight to the blind, to set to liberty those who are oppressed. And, you know, I just feel like that is if God could send you a certified letter, said, this is your assignment, go do it. It can be summed up in Luke 4:18.
So is this a theme that you kind of build the youth around? Or do they kind of catch on to the Break Free theme or idea?
Yeah. They're actually really starting to get very encouraged by it, you know. Youth ministry takes a little bit of time. You have to step in and earn trust. And after you receive that, basically, then you can lead the youth in a certain way. And it's just been an awesome opportunity to watch a lot of things that I have felt like God has led me to instill in the youth, and them actually turning back and use those same ideas to go out into the schools and just do what we're called to do.
Yeah. I feel like much like, I don't know, what do we call it, adult church?
Right.
When you graduate out of the youth group, if that's what that is. I feel like, you know, if you are doing your job, tell me if I'm wrong in this idea. If you're doing your job as a youth pastor, then really what you are accomplishing is you are training and discipling the next generation of church leaders.
Yeah.
And of ministry leaders and of people in the community that are standing up for the gospel. Not that they can't do that as teens, but one of these days, those of us that are in those positions in big church, in quotations now, we won't be doing that anymore. And these are the ones that are going to be filling those spots.
Right.
There's a lot of youth ministries that I don't think approach their kids that way. They approach their kids in more of a fellowship time, social time. You use the word babysitter, you know. I'm wondering, does you keep this in mind? Are you keeping in mind that what you're after is discipling? Not only are you dealing with the issues and the struggles that teens have that is just compounded over these last several years and up to this present time, but you're also having to get through struggle and then get to discipling.
Right.
And is your mindset, you and your wife, are you after turning these into, you know, walking, talking ministers of God? Is that what you're looking for?
Yes. I mean, you know, the first thing we have to do is basically, like you said, is overcome the struggles. And once they can get that from Christ, you know, it's nothing that I'm doing. It's not like I'm saying, you know, hey, do this, this, and this, and this will liberate you. You know, we're preaching the gospel, and everything comes through Christ, you know. Back to what we're talking about. You know, what I feel like I'm led to do is basically equipped the next generation church. You know, that's one thing that, you know, we can't keep going back and living in the old tradition things, because sometimes, you know, that doesn't necessarily appeal to these kids. And I, you know, we may catch some flack on this, but the way I feel it is that, you know, we need to draw the youth in a way that will catch their attention. And, you know, if contemporary music is something that that draws them in and, you know, pushes them out forward to go, you know, minister and step into, and that's something they take into their next church that they're going to be leading, then by all means, you know, that's what I'm here for.
Let me ask you this. We've got just a few minutes left before we're going to go into break. So in 3 years of experience now, you've been in and out of several circumstances and personal situations with some of these kids, I'm sure. I think it would probably shock a lot of us, parents, church leaders, to hear what really some of our kids are struggling with today.
Yeah.
Sometimes I think we assume way too much. Mm-hmm. And I have been guilty of this in my past. God has really convicted me of this in here lately. Don't assume that just because you preach and teach, I'm talking about myself, and you lead worship, and you are invited to different churches to lead congregations, don't assume that just because you raise your kids around church that they, by osmosis, pick up all this stuff that you are and that you stand for, and they understand, and they don't struggle, and they're not being hit in the face by the enemy and the world and their sin nature. I think it would be a good eye-opener if in these last couple minutes, maybe you could share with our listeners, what is the reality of what the teens of today are really struggling with? What are you seeing?
The reality is that, you know, right now in the present time, the enemy has a humongous stronghold on this generation. Things that I'd seen when I was, you know, their age, you know, 14, 15, 16, you know, I've always heard about them, but I never actually seen them firsthand. But, you know, I have kids who are saying that, you know, they have these issues with cutting themselves, with some drug issues, some self-confidence. This is something else, media-induced depression. I want you to think about that. If you think about, you see, you know, you can have Facebook on your iPhone, you can have Facebook on your computer, you can have, you know, Netflix with all this attention with the media, and you basically have a generation that is wanting to be the next biggest thing and you know, the next hottest thing or whatever the case may be. And when they can't achieve that, they fall into a state of depression that the enemy just loves. I mean, he loves to have that playground on them. Another thing is, you know, relationship pressure. You know, they were pressured just to have a relationship with somebody. And, you know, if you don't get that accepted, then,
yeah. You know. Well, very interesting. I want to get back to some of the stuff you were just talking about. Right on the other side of the break, you come back with us.
Hey, this is Tim. I'm the youth pastor at Partnership Church. I have a quick truth for you today. Jesus tells us in the book of John, chapter 10, starting with verse 10, that the thief comes only to kill, steal, and destroy. I have came that you may have life and have life more abundantly. Another translation puts it like this: I have come so that you may have life in super abundance. Now, if you're like me, some days my life does not feel very abundant. While seeking God about this, I felt He gave me three keys to unlock the door to a more abundant life. First is prayer. You have to communicate with the Father. Secondly, simple obedience. If He's telling you to do something, just do it. Thirdly, show love and compassion. I have found that through showing love towards someone else, I receive it tenfold. If you're listening today and you want to experience life in more super abundance, I would encourage you to consider these three keys. For more information, please check us out at partnershipchurch.com. And while you're there, check out our youth page at Break Free Youth Ministries.
Truth Infusion Ministries is excited to introduce you to J&K Custom Cutting. This Christian-based operation is a father and son team that is ready to take care of your lumber needs. The great thing is they are portable, so you can bring logs to them or they can come to you. They also build logging mats and they sell lumber of all types with a specialty in cedar. So call Johnny and Kevin at 903-824-8477. That's 903-824-8477. They are waiting to hear from you. Hey guys, welcome back, and we're here with youth pastor of Break Free Ministries at a Partnership Church, Tim Lewis. You said something right before the break that I wanted to kind of put my two cents on. You spoke about media-induced depression,
right?
And kind of how the TV shows and what the media is throwing at our kids paints this unrealistic picture for what life is about.
Right.
And I noticed that in my own home. And here's what I, you know, started to see. My computer desk is set up and positioned in such a way that the TV for the house is within my view. So I get to just sit there and watch what the kids are watching sometimes as I'm working at my desk. And so we got a lot of the Nickelodeon and the Disney Channel programs on, which are huge right now. I mean, huge. Here's what I began to see with these shows. Number one, they're all rock stars.
Right.
They all are in the music videos, or else they're super talented kids going to special schools for their amazing skills, and they're all working on their boyfriend, girlfriend. Here's another thing I've noticed. Most of these shows, there's no parents. Either they're unseen, you know, their dad in the military and he's gone, or it's just other kids that are taking care of the kids. So they're living the rock star life. They're making their own decisions. Their parents are not around. And this, like you're saying, is the popular idea that's being thrown at our kids. So I began to see these patterns. And here's what I know. I can sit down with my teenager and explain. Here's why this isn't healthy. Satan's using this to kind of brain numb this generation. And here's what he's getting you to accept. So down the road, he can throw other things at you. I can explain that to my 15-year-old.
Right.
It's hard to explain that to my 7-year-old.
Right.
So I began to be convicted about that. So here's what we've done. The TV doesn't come on anymore. We just turned it off. And if we have a family night where we have a movie that mom and dad approve of and we all sit down and watch it together, that's one thing. But for the most part, in the last couple of weeks, we may have had the TV on for a couple of hours.
Right.
Here's what I'm finding out, Tim. We talk to each other more. We spend more time in devotions and Bible studies. My kids are happier. They're not being sucked into this idiot box, this TV. Yeah. So I think what you're saying there, it really hit home with me because I relate exactly to what you're saying. What else are you seeing that our teens are struggling with today? What are you dealing with?
Well, you know, we just before the break, we were talking about that. And then, you know, just relationship issues. I mean, for some reason, You know, in seventh grade, you feel like you have to know the one that you're going to be married with. You know, I don't get it. But, I mean, that's how I was too, you know. And when you have that first breakup and you just think your world's coming to an end, and you know, you're in your bedroom for weeks and you just don't know, you know, what the problem
is. Right. So, but mom and dad they just say, oh, don't worry about it. You'll get over it. Right. And then the youth pastor has to pick up all the pieces and put it all back together, right?
That's it. But ultimately, what I'm finding out that this really is terrifying, and parents, I want you to take hold of this, because this is happening, regardless if we want to turn our ears onto it or not. But when students are faced with all this junk that the world has to offer, suicide becomes a much better option.
And wow.
you know, like I said, we don't want to face that. We want to look at our children and think, you know, they're happy, you know, they're content, and, you know, everything's great. But, you know, they're struggling with some things. And, you know, David was talking about this, hit on just a second ago. But the fact of the matter is that as a youth pastor, I can't raise children. I am the enforcer of the upbringing that the parents have.
Mm-hmm.
If they aren't hearing it from home, if I try to introduce it into the home, I look like the bad guy. I'm not saying that the parents need to, but the parents have to have their responsibilities of raising up the children.
Yeah.
And then when I enforce it, it's kind of like them saying, oh, well, hey, you know, Pastor Tim's saying this, and then that goes back to the parents, and they're like, I've been telling you this all along. You know, why don't you understand? But it's just hearing the confirmation from someone else.
Yeah, so you're saying that what benefits you as a youth pastor, and then would also be a benefit to the parent, is if it's almost like a partnership work.
Exactly, right.
Tim, this is something that God really put in my heart in a major way, maybe a year ago, maybe a little longer. We were struggling with some stuff in my household, and here's what God said. I was really pumped up and fired up at that time about teaching the people that God was putting me in front of, the congregations and the groups, Bible studies, teaching things like the sin nature, right, and sanctification and how to live victoriously for the Lord. And here's what God said to me. And I remember this just like yesterday, and it's like he spoke this audibly almost to my ears. David, what good are you if you save the world and your own kids don't know what you're preaching?
That's good.
And so I was just really... it was almost like a sock to the stomach. Convicted me huge. I mean, to the point of tears. And I realized, if I'm not teaching my own kids, because I was one of these parents that just assumed they're right, my kids.
Right.
I'm the preacher guy. I'm the teacher guy. I'm the guy with the radio show. They know what I'm talking about. They know it too. But you know, it's just like that old thing where they used to say, you can't slip your math book under your pillow and sleep on top of it and understand math. I can't assume that my kids are understanding the ways of the Lord,
right,
just because I drag them into church,
right,
and give them to a youth pastor that loves them. And so I hear what you're saying. I guess you probably see both sides of it. Parents that are helping their kids' upbringing and being a partner with the church and the youth ministry, and those that just dump them off and say, here, you take care of them. Do you see that big of a difference?
You know, I do. And what my heart is I wish that I could just, you know, bring all the students in that, you know, maybe they don't have a father at home, or maybe, you know, that's a broken home. What my heart is I'd love to be able to just take them all in and just, you know, raise them up myself. But absolutely, yeah, I do see a lot of just separation. You know, a majority of the parents are teaching great things to the kids, and then you can really see that spill over into the life of their children. But there are certain cases where, you know, the students are just kind of left out, hung out to dry. You know, a couple things that are great, you know, we have to realize that parents, you know, can't necessarily want to always be the friends of their kids. You know, a lot of times, you know, you want to say all the right things, you want to make the child happy, but just the way that God disciplines us, he doesn't give us everything we desire.
That's
because
right,
he knows if we do, you know, we won't handle it. I mean, if when I was 16 years old, my parents gave me a house, a car, and all the money I needed, man, there's no telling what I'd be doing.
You wouldn't be sitting here talking about ministry right now.
Absolutely. You know, chances are, you know, I would be, you know, on drugs somewhere, you know, I don't know, maybe have 20 kids somewhere. I don't know what the case may be. But, you know, parents, you know, we have to realize that friendship can come at a later time. You know, I'm now closer in relationship friend-wise with my parents at the age of 26 than I ever thought I was going to be when I was 17 years old.
Yeah, and there's a time and place for that. There's a season for everything,
right.
Word tells us. Well, I have a couple of questions. We've only got about 5 minutes.
Okay.
A couple of things that I wanted to throw at you for those that are listening. A couple of groups that may be listening today, and one of them may be other youth pastors. And if you are to be able to pull all these youth pastors, men and women, into a room and just give them a couple of minutes of encouragement, what would you need to hear as a youth pastor? What would you share with them? What do you think they need to hear?
You know, I would say just flat out that, you know, church ministry is tough. Anybody who's been in any certain time can realize that sometimes it's the most, the biggest blessing in your life, but it can also be one of the most frustrating things, as you have said yourself before.
That's true.
But also realize that these students need you. You know, they need something in their life. They need an anchor that they can hold on to. You know, just don't give up on them. Like I said, youth ministry in itself can sometimes not be just immediately rewarding. You know, you don't see a lot of your fruits firsthand. You know, a lot of times you look back and it takes, you know, once you are able to basically have a student as a freshman and love this person and nurture them and grow them in the knowledge of Christ, by the time they are senior in high school and they're making, you know, the right decisions and, you know, they're bringing other people to Christ. And you can really begin to see that fruit take place.
But that's a process.
It's a process. It's something that doesn't happen overnight. Secondly, don't look at youth ministry as a stepping stone to something bigger. Just embrace the calling that God has you in right now.
Amen.
And give your 110% to that. God will promote you when that time has come.
Yeah.
But for this season, you know, I feel that for somebody, just embrace where God has you right now.
Okay, well, let me ask you one other question. There's maybe another group that's listening that needs to hear something from the youth pastor today. What about the teen that may be listening right now that's struggling with something and they don't know the answer to it? What do you say to them?
You know, the world likes to put a Band-Aid on something that requires surgery. And meaning that by saying this is that, you know, we looked at some issues earlier, such as, you know, the cutting, the drugs use, the lack of self-confidence. All these things are things that lead up ultimately to death. You know, that's what sin is.
Yes.
And, you know, we can put an image on it by calling, you know, suicide out. You know, for something that needs treatment, if we look at issues, we may think, you know, well, that, you know, our students only, you know, into a little bit of self-confidence issues, or maybe there's just a little bit of media-induced depression here. But as we know, when we have two smaller problems and we introduce one other thing, then we have a big problem on our hands.
Yeah.
And you know, with that, I would say, you know, man cannot fix man.
That's right. Amen.
You know, and what I want to say about that is that counselors, you know, doctors, these are all good things, but ultimately the student needs to know that Christ is the only thing that can liberate you. And I would just say, dig deep. God's not going to return anything empty-handed. He wants you. He wants you to be free, and just cling closer to Him.
Amen. Thank you, Tim, for being here.
Thank you.
Hope that's blessed you today. For those of you that are listening, I encourage you to keep seeking the truth and join us next week on Truth Infusion.
Thank you for listening to Truth Infusion. Please visit Truth Infusion Ministries on the web at truthinfusion.com. Once again, that's truthinfusion.com. We also would like to hear from our listeners. Email us truthinfusion@gmail.com.